Urban development and 11 o'clock morning sun blurred through the car window as we sped uptown. Benito drove with his uninjured arm, his fingers tapping on the steering wheel to the beat, while singing along to How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees. Typical behavior from him, but he'd been awfully quiet the whole drive. I watched him for a moment, a frown tugging at my lips. Are you on painkillers? His brows pulled together.
I only took 3 this morning.
You mean like right before we got in the car? That? This morning?
Yeah, with some orange juice.
He said it like that tidbit was important. I closed my eyes. Benito was high. He should have known those painkillers Vito supplied were in doses large enough for a horse. And he'd taken 3. I rubbed my temple.
You shouldn't be driving. And what? He scoffed. Let you drive? You don't know how.
No, I was going to say we should have just stayed home. I trailed off, staring in confusion when he took an exit off the expressway. What are you doing, Benito? You can't get off here.
Can now. The marriage, Elena.
How could I have forgotten? As I drove on Russo streets for the first time, it was beginning to feel real. My sister was marrying Nicolas. My throat felt tight. What are we doing here? It felt like I was visiting another world. But it was only a part of New York City I hadn't seen. It made me realize how sheltered I was. The only other countries I'd been to were Italy and Mexico. The former was to visit Mama's parents and family over there. The latter was for yearly vacations. Though I thought that was just a guise for Papa's business meetings with Mexican cartels.
I just have to drop something off at Nico's.
I swallowed and tried to will my body into complacency, but I couldn't stop the rush of anticipation from zinging beneath my skin. I gave my head a small shake in frustration. The truth was, I was incredibly attracted to my sister's fiancé, whether I liked him or not, and I didn't. The idea that I might get to see him from the car window was enough to have me on edge. I hated it, but I didn't know how to turn it off either. The city passed before my fresh eyes as we drove deeper into Russo territory. We lived in a classy, spacious community in Long Island. The only neighbor you could see from the backyard was Tim Fultz. He owned a law firm Papa laundered money through. At least that's what Benito told me once. He was a nice guy, besides. Our neighborhood was quiet and private, and I'd always assumed Nicolas resided in something similar, but he didn't. He lived in the middle of the Bronx, in a red brick home with a small white porch and a private drive that went to a garage in the back. Benito pulled into the drive, drove to the back, and parked next to Nicolas's car. The detached garage door was up, and 2 vehicles sat inside, one with its hood open. They were both black, just like Nicolas's soul. I didn't know a thing about cars. Who could blame me? I'd never even been taught to drive. But I was aware these were classics. One was a Gran Torino. I only knew that because I'd seen Gran Torino not too long ago. Benito had cried, though he would never admit it. And since seeing a man cry was the saddest thing in the world, so had I. My heartbeat jumped when Nicolas stepped out from behind the hood, wiping his hands with a rag. He wore dark jeans and a plain white t-shirt. I'd never seen a man covered in grease who looked this good. I let my head fall against the seat.
Son of a bitch, I'm bleeding again.
Sure enough, a red stain had bled through Benito's white dress shirt. We were going to a pool party, but he wouldn't be swimming or dressing down. Where would he put his gun? Didn't you get stitches?
Yeah.
He pulled the keys out of the ignition.
But I split a couple open.
Stupidly, I asked, doing what?
Gabriella,
he smirked. Yeah, about that. My nose wrinkled. Can you keep it away from the kitchen? His gaze narrowed before filling with amused clarity.
I know we all have our kinks, Elena, but you're my cousin. Find someone else to watch.
I rolled my eyes, opened the door, and got out before I knew what I was doing. I didn't want to sit in a hot car, not while my skin was already warmer than normal from being in a certain man's proximity. Nicolas leaned against the garage, towel in hand. His gaze found mine, narrowing at the edges, before coasting to Benito, who handed him a manila envelope. These men sure love their manila.
Hey, man, can I use your bathroom?
Nicolas's attention fell to the bloodstain, and then he nodded once.
Second door on the left.
Thanks,
Benito said, heading inside. Nicolas and I stood there, watching each other. His gaze went to the white bikini strap I wore underneath a pink cover-up dress, paired with wedge sandals. It was a cute ensemble, but I only got a squinted, condescending stare. I frowned, crossing my arms defensively. He looked at me for another second before heading back into his garage. I stared at his white-clad, muscled back until he dipped his head under a car hood and ignored me. Quite the host, this one. It was one of those days that he grabs on and doesn't let go. We'd had a cool summer up until a week ago, but with the start of August tomorrow, it seemed to be hitting us all at once. The sun burned hot and unforgiving, enough to make my olive skin redden if I stood beneath it long enough. Something about the relentless heat and watching Nicolas wipe the sweat off his neck with the collar of his t-shirt made a warm haze permeate the corners of my mind. A fan whirled near the door. A baseball game filtered out the open window of the neighboring house, and a small TV played the news in the corner of the garage. I wanted to catch the highlights, but it was too quiet. To get closer, I'd have to walk within the 2 feet of space behind Nicolas. I hesitated. With the idea that I was being ridiculous, I made up my mind. Every nerve ending tingled as I squeezed past him to get to the wooden workbench and stool. I grabbed the remote and turned up the TV, but it took much longer than it should have to find the volume button. I was attuned to every movement, every noise behind me. Connected to him like static electricity. A drop of sweat ran down my back, and goosebumps rose on my skin. I tried to watch the news, but it was like reading with Nicolas around. Impossible. I pulled my hair into a ponytail while pretending to listen to the blonde newscaster's words. I could feel his gaze on my bare shoulder blades as I twisted the tie around my long strands. Breathless, itchy, hot. I should have gone to church today because this was the wrong way to feel in the presence of one's soon-to-be brother-in-law. But I'd stayed home, or I'd be late for the pool party. My nails dug into my palms. Why did I have to be attracted to this man? If given the choice, I'd rather be infatuated with 50-year-old married Tim Fultz. Maybe if I spoke to Nicolas, his terrible personality would make this strange attraction fade away. It was worth a try. I turned around, leaned against the workbench, and ignored the nerves coursing through me about starting a conversation with him. Your place is nice. Not at all what I expected. He side-eyed me with a look that made my heart stutter while working on something beneath the hood of the Gran Torino.
And what did you expect?
I swallowed under his attention. A few words from him were more exciting than they should have been. I guess I expected a little more fire and brimstone. His gaze turned darkly entertained. Hell. Or padded rooms. He wiped the side of his face with his sleeve, his focus on his work.
For thinking I'm a psychopath, you don't seem to fear being alone with me.
I can scream. Loudly. He glanced at me, like my words had an entirely different meaning, like he might like to hear me scream. My breathing became shallow. The baseball game from the next house over filtered in, and I glanced out of the garage. Nicolas had a chain-link fence, no privacy. For someone in his profession, it wasn't normal. Your neighbors are so close, I noted. His expression sparked with dry amusement.
What, you think I shoot someone every time I eat lunch?
I lifted a shoulder, biting my bottom lip.
He stared at me and me at him.
This conversation was doing nothing to ruin his appeal. He was slightly sweaty, grease-stained, and tattooed, none of which I thought I could appreciate until now. This strange attraction sank so deep, my cells shifted and grew heavy as they soaked it in.
The only acts of violence I've committed this week have somehow revolved around you, he pointed out.
You mean last night, when you promised you wouldn't do anything? Was that one of them?
My words were sweet as I tilted my head.
Wasn't it you who called me a cheat, Elena?
I wasn't even sure how he did it, but my name rolled off his lips in a low, suggestive drawl that ghosted across my skin like a shiver. Heat ran between my legs.
Don't say it like that.
Like what?
I grew flustered. You know what you're doing. Stop.
He walked toward me with a car part, setting it on the workbench. My entire side tingled at his proximity, only a couple feet away. I turned in his direction and leaned my hip against the table. I didn't know what I was doing in here, watching him work, but it was almost thrilling, like living on the edge. Who would rather sit in the car?
He took a similar-looking part out of a box. I couldn't believe he did his own mechanic work. I guessed even men like him had to have a hobby.
What are you doing with Benito?
His tone seeped with indifference, but interest shone through.
We're going to a pool party.
After a moment, he said,
Tyler Whitmore's, I imagine.
Yeah, I froze. I knew this interaction was going over too smoothly. Why do you know his last name?
You can find out anything these days, Elena.
He said it with a dark edge while wiping his hands off. My teeth clenched. I didn't ask how, I asked why. His gaze came my way, hard and intimidating.
I'm marrying into your family. That makes your business now mine.
No, it doesn't. My eyes narrowed. That makes Adriana's business yours, not mine. I have plenty of men in my life already.
Guess you got another.
His words were deep, smooth, final. I opened my mouth to say something about how much I disliked him. But before I could work my thoughts into coherent words, he told me,
maybe rethink what you're about to say.
I closed my mouth. He was so confident, unconcerned, while my stomach twisted with worry for Tyler. The last thing anyone wanted was their full name on Nicholas Russo's radar. Frustration clawed beneath my skin. He'd come and butted into my life like he had a right to. He would make a disaster of it. I couldn't keep it in.
Have you always been unhinged? Or is your controlling, delusional nature a product of inadequacy?
I said it sweetly. Sweet as poison. He continued tinkering with his parts, his gaze staying focused like he hadn't even heard me. I had to admit, it felt good to get that off my chest. Great, actually. A cool rush of shock flooded me as he grabbed the back of my neck and pulled me within a foot of him. My heart was in my throat and my eyes squeezed shut because I didn't want to see how he was going to kill me. All I felt was warm skin and a tug on my dress. And then his hand slipped from my nape and he was gone. After a couple seconds, I opened my eyes to see him walking away with a part in his hand. I stood there, frozen.
Never really thought about it, he drawled. But I guess I've always been.
Feeling something out of order, I glanced down. My lips parted in disbelief. He cut my bikini strap. I had a feeling this wasn't even because of the comment. He just didn't want me to go to the party. Benito's voice filtered into the garage, though I couldn't see him over the car.
I used your kid under the sink to fix a couple stitches. Hope you don't mind.
I tried to catch my breath and collect myself while they talked for a moment. I slipped my bikini top off under my dress. It was worthless now. I wasn't a girl who could go without a bra. Not to Benito's standards, but close. I'd have to cross my arms the whole way home and tell my cousin my strap broke. He'd believe me, and he wouldn't even notice anything. Men were oblivious.
You ready, Elena? Benito asked. Let's go.
Coming. As I passed Nicolas and noticed that Benito was preoccupied with texting next to his car, I tossed my bikini top under the hood. Don't psychopaths like souvenirs? The tiniest hint of amusement pulled on his lips, and one grease-stained hand fisted the white fabric before I left the garage. Benito sat in the driver's seat, sunglasses on.
Sorry I took so long. About fucking passed out fixing a stitch.
As I imagined, he never noticed my missing bikini top. Didn't ask questions about the broken strap. He only took me home. But before we reached the red front door, his suspicious gaze burned my face.
What's on your neck?
I wiped the spot, coming away with a smudge of grease. Unease leaked into my blood.
I don't know.
He didn't respond, didn't hear my heartbeat ricocheting in my chest. Though something dark crossed his expression before I could disappear upstairs. I didn't ask to get manhandled by Nicolas Russo, by my sister's fiancé. But the one unfortunate truth I was scared Benito might read on my face was, I liked it. Chapter 15. I want to live my life, not record it. Jackie Kennedy. Elena. I was beginning to think this attraction was my punishment for him. This was karma. While he had touched me, I'd wished for someone else, and that someone came in the form of my sister's fiancé. The rest of Sunday passed with nothing but humidity, icy air conditioning, and thoughts on my mind. Before him, I was a virgin, had never even kissed a man. An entire world of lust and sex had always been there, but I was unaware until I'd stepped into a low-income apartment, holding the hand of a man I hardly knew. He didn't know the sweet Abeli, and to me, that was all that mattered. When I walked out the door with that broken chain lock and a cheap ring on my finger, it was as a different woman, with a stain of red I could never remove. And a deeper, darker desire in my blood. Once you set foot into that hazy, carnal corner of the world, you couldn't go back. The ingenious part was that you didn't even want to. I attributed this to my problem and came to terms with the small fact that I was losing my mind. When I'd heard my future brother-in-law in the foyer a few minutes ago while doing laundry to pass the time, I'd gone out of my way to cross his path. I hadn't needed a drink of water, and I certainly hadn't needed to wear the tiniest pair of shorts I owned while getting it. I was close to crossing a line, but I didn't know how to stop myself from towing the edge. I understood my attraction to the man. His hands were rough, his voice deep, his presence commanding. He checked all the boxes I needed but didn't want. Whenever he was near, an invisible string pulled me toward him, vibrating with the promise of a thrill if I gave in to the heavy tug. I hadn't known I had such a lack of self-control until him. The part that gave me a bitter taste was that I didn't even want to show restraint. At least I knew I couldn't step over the line completely. It took two for that to happen, thankfully. Nicolas had been on the phone in the foyer as I'd walked past him. His gaze had coasted from the marble floors up my thighs, over the ridiculous shorts I was now regretting, and then to my face, He looked at me like I was gum on the bottom of one of his expensive shoes. It was a mystery how I could be so attracted to him. Since that brief, wordless interaction, I'd been trying to conceive a plan to get over this all-consuming interest in everything Nicolas Russo. I could ignore him. However, I'd already told myself I would do that, and look where it had gotten me. In the kitchen, drinking a glass of water I didn't need, while wearing tiny shorts you could call underwear. I could go to confession and then pray for the good Lord to save me. Though with my luck, Father Matthews would tell my papa. The most feasible option was to try to turn the attraction on to someone else. That might cause issues in itself, but at least I wouldn't be lusting after my sister's fiancé. The problem was, if this were possible, I would have already done it. Frustration ran through me, and I dumped the rest of the water into the sink. I was being ridiculous. I just needed to put the attraction behind me. Mind over matter. Easy, right? I didn't have so much faith in myself after all. So Monday evening, as we were on our way to Don Luigi's to have dinner with the Russo family, I posed a hypothetical situation before my nonna. It had to be vague, very much so. Otherwise, she'd easily put it together with her astute ways. Nonna, I started hesitantly. Say you've wanted this dog. Her nose wrinkled from her spot in the town car. I would never get a dog. I have allergies. Dominic sat between us texting. He was my quietest and broodiest cousin. And he smoked too much weed. I could smell it on him now. Benito drove, singing along to Rocket Man by Elton John with his aviators on, even though the sun had already fallen below the skyscrapers. Mama sat in the front seat, fixing her makeup in the mirror, and complaining when Benito went more than 3 miles per hour over the speed limit. Adriana had ridden with Papa and Tony, surprisingly. I was sure my father just wanted to chastise her about all the stuff she shouldn't do while married to Nicolas. Imagine you weren't allergic and you did want one, Nonna, but you want your neighbor's dog. We're not getting a dog, Elena. Mamma said. Cazzo. I know. I only spoke Italian when I wanted to curse. I hardly ever swore except for damn, hell, and maybe ass, with a hole on the end, now that I'd met Nicolas. But that was mostly inner monologue, so it didn't count. It's hypothetical, I said. Now, say your neighbor's dog is so cute, and you want him, her, for yourself. I think if I could, I would rather have a cat, Nonna answered while looking out the window. Fine, I sighed. A cat, then. You want your neighbor's cat. We're not getting a cat, Elena, Mama said. Oh, my God. I know. I said it's hypothetical. Why does it smell like skunk in here? Nonna's brows knitted. I didn't miss Benito shooting a sharp glare at Dominic in the rearview mirror. He wasn't supposed to smoke weed. It altered the mind and slowed the reflexes. Papa would be mad if he found out. Well, Nonna picked a piece of lint off her skirt. It must be that perfume you wear, Celia. Seems to ferment after a while. Benito choked. And Dominic ran a hand across his almost amused expression while still focused on his phone. I thought Nonna picked on my mama a lot of the time just because she got laughs from the boys. Mama shook her head, probably planning to drink enough for 5 tonight. She loved wine and soap operas. If only one of her kids had played soccer. Now, what were you asking, Elena? You want a pet? Nonna opened her clutch purse for candy, most likely. Other than chocolate, she only put Kleenexes in there, which she reused and reused like they'd quit making them. She's not getting a pet, Mama said sternly. Nonna shifted haughtily on the seat. Well, I've heard pets do wonders for depression. Maybe you should be concerned about your daughter's mental health. She is not depressed. She wants an animal in the house.
What more needs to be said, really, Celia?
I tuned them out, like the knob on the radio, until all I heard was fuzz. Looked like I was on my own with this one.
Black and white pictures of old Bronx hung on the walls. The round tables were covered with red and green checkered tablecloths. A wooden bar ran across one wall, which my mama headed straight for. Booths took up the other, and a few Russo women congregated there. The light fixtures were originals, casting the room in a soft, warm glow. It was the kind of restaurant you would dine at to converse and get drunk. But I only stood by the door, uncertainly. I was in a Russo restaurant, in Russo territory. I felt like a fish out of water. By the way, my two cousins stood by me, eyeing the place with their hands in their pockets. I imagined they felt the same way. I'd met a few of the women who occupied the booths, but not enough to feel comfortable sitting near them. And I wouldn't go join the men at the corner of the bar for anything. I noticed Nicholas among them. It wasn't just his height that made him stand out, but his mere presence. Warmth spread through me when his eyes landed on mine. He had a way of looking at me that made me feel like I was indecently dressed. He glanced away, responding to the man he was speaking to, and I let out a breath. "What are you doing blocking the doorway?" Nonna muttered, pushing her way through me, Dominic, and Benito. "Kids these days, typing on those phones all the time, their brains have rot." Her voice trailed off as she headed to a table to sit down. Warm air brushed my skin as the door opened. Adriana stomped in, her eyes a dark storm. I stared at her attire. She wore a yellow t-shirt dress with black Converse. It was a cute ensemble, but this was a black tie dinner, no matter the low-key Italian restaurant. I wore a black glitter maxi, and I wasn't even the bride. Her expression was equal parts fury and despair. "What's wrong?" I asked her. She opened her mouth, closed it, then waltzed to the bar and pulled her petite frame onto a stool. Mamma had a glass of wine to her lips when she saw Adriana. Her eyes widened, her face darkened. But then she shook her head like she couldn't deal with it at the moment and headed in the opposite direction. Walking up to the bar, I met gazes with the young male bartender in a white shirt and black waistcoat and ordered a beer. He raised a brow at my choice of drink. Benito was 4 years older than me and had always had the downstairs fridge stocked with beer. I drank with him secretly in my teen years, when Mama would have scolded me about it. I'd grown to like it more than the tartness of wine. At the time, I thought it would be the most scandalous thing I'd ever do. Boy, did I wish that were true. "Why did the turkey cross the road?" I asked, without looking at my brooding sister, who was sipping on a shot of what looked like vodka. I had no idea how she did that and briefly wondered if my mama had had an affair with a Russian. He would have quickly been a dead Russian, if so. "To prove it's not a chicken," her response was dry. Crap. I must have used that one before. I used to tell her silly jokes when she got upset about something, though it didn't look like it would work this time. "Okay," I tried to up my game. "Why do bananas use suntan lotion?" She didn't answer, only sipped her vodka.
"So they won't peel?"
I exclaimed it with so much cheer it hurt my own ears. The bartender chuckled and slid my beer across the lacquered wooden bar to me. My sister, though, she didn't blink. I sighed. "Oh, come on, he thinks it's funny." "He doesn't. He just wants to sleep with you," she deadpanned. My eyes widened and then shot to the bartender, who was within earshot. I expected a blatant refusal, but he only lifted a shoulder with a smirk before helping another customer. He was either the bravest man in the room or the most idiotic to hit on a don's daughter. I blushed, shook my head at my sister, then brought the bottle to my lips and took a drink. It was cold, refreshing, with a hint of bitterness. "Do you want to share what the problem is, or try to drink it away?" I leaned against the bar and settled in because I already knew her response. drink it away. And so we drink.
Chapter 16. I see nothing in space as promising as the view from a Ferris wheel. E.B. White. Elena. My head felt light as my second beer settled into a warm puddle in my stomach. I was only tipsy and had already exchanged alcohol for water. I never drank too much in public. It loosened my tongue to the point where I feared what I would do or say. What if I told everyone what I was thinking? The sweet abeli and alcohol didn't mix. I wasn't ready to jump headfirst into the world as myself. Didn't know if I'd ever be. When you're groomed and praised for being a certain way your entire childhood, sometimes there's no escape. Adriana didn't share the same opinions on the matter. She was drunk, very much so. Thankfully, she was usually quiet while intoxicated and appeared to only be eating much more and with less decorum than she did sober. More family had shown up and filled most of the restaurant. Russos sat with Russos and Abellis with Abellis, though Adriana sat next to Nicolas and his uncles and their wives. I knew his mamma had passed when he was a teen, and his papa had been killed when the Zanettis shot up one of his nightclubs. Unsurprisingly, it was because Nicolas' father had cheated them on a business deal. It was strange not having Adriana at our table, but I guessed she was going to be a Russo in less than 2 weeks. A discomfort tightened in my throat. I sat next to Tony, who seemed to be in good spirits. He had a bandage on his right hand, though, and kept asking me to get his drinks for him, to pass this or that, and to cut his steak. He always asked with too much enthusiasm, as if he liked his new condition. I was feeling for Jenny, cheater or not. My parents, Nonna, Dominic, and Benito also sat with us. The men kept the conversation monotonous with talk about work. Papa owned many different establishments, from strip clubs to laundromats, though the latter was probably a cover-up for the packaging and distribution of drugs, or about their bets on men in their illegal fights. Gianna ran the conversation in the room, making Abellis converse with Russos and vice versa. She looked like Barbie today. Thin-strapped pink dress, high ponytail, and light pink makeup. She was charismatic, independent, and now that I believe she'd slept with Nicolas, I watched her more than I should have. I was fascinated with the idea that she knew what it was like to sleep with him. Though the more I thought about it, a foreign feeling, a wave of something unpleasant slithered through my veins. Envy. That's what it was. I wasn't only attracted to the man, I was jealous of the women he'd been with. I groaned out loud. All eyes at our round table came my way, forks of dessert halfway to their lips. Indigestion? Nonna questioned. Yeah, I responded without thinking and pushed my chair back. I'm going to use the restroom. I didn't even realize what I had said until I was walking away from the table and heard my brother and cousin's soft laughter behind my back. Men. I had the bathroom door open 3 inches when I heard my name between the sound of the running faucet and toilet flushing. Look, all I'm saying is that she's known to be the sweet Abeli. But really, it's only because she gets sweet with a lot of men. A bitter taste filled my mouth. The voice belonged to a Russo woman, Valentina, married to one of Nicolas's cousins, though I didn't know which. She was tall, statuesque, with strong Sicilian features. Hard to miss or forget. You're just jealous because Ricardo's been staring at her all night, another woman replied. It sounded like Gemma, Nicolas's cousin. She was close to my age, maybe a little younger, with light brown hair and eyes. I'd only spoken to her once, but she seemed like a nice girl. I don't care what Ricardo does. I have Eddie, Valentina replied. I heard a rustle like someone was digging through their purse. Then silence. Maybe reapplying makeup. They killed her lover, don't you know? Some man from Staten Island.
They're gonna kill yours too if you don't shut up about it, Gemma said.
Valentina scoffed. Ricardo and I hardly sleep together anymore.
What does he expect me to do?
Stop. I don't want to hear about you, my brother, and sex in one sentence.
Fine, prude.
I let the door close quietly. I hadn't known my nickname was so popular until I'd met the Russos. I wondered if that's what everyone believed, that the sweet Abeli was easy and sweet about it. My stomach turned. I didn't care so much about what others thought of me, but the rumor hit closer to home than I wished. A man was killed because I'd made the mistake of sleeping with him, and now I was lusting after my sister's fiancé. Her comments struck the right nerve. The girls exited the bathroom with a fresh wave of perfume and didn't even notice me standing in the shadows. I leaned against the wall as the past came to the surface. I'd met him at the carnival. Warm breeze, sun, and laughter from the Ferris wheel high above. Smells of fried funnel cakes, popcorn, and cotton candy. At least that's what I imagined it to be in the heat of the summer. Instead, it was as empty as a sweet Abeli smile. Nothing but snow, concrete, and the whistle of cold wind. He worked at a mall nearby as a security guard, as well as two other part-time jobs to support his mother and younger sister, who I could only imagine were struggling to get by while mourning a son and brother. The awful truth was, I didn't even know his name. I wouldn't tell him mine. So, with a smile, he told me he wouldn't share his until I shared mine. Now, he'd never get to tell another anything. He was blonde, charismatic, and easygoing. I hadn't known such lightheartedness existed, and it had charmed me in a way. However, I was raised and deeply embedded in a different world altogether. A world that ended his life. The most bitter part was that the guilt was fading, like the image out of a rearview mirror as the car drove away. I leaned my head against the wall, tilted it up, and twisted the ring on my middle finger. He gave it to me as a lark. However, now it had become a promise to myself to make restitution for my mistake, and I wouldn't take it off until I had. A familiar awareness brushed my bare skin. I rolled my head to the side to see Nicholas standing at the end of the corridor, his hands in his pockets, and that lazy stare all mine.
And here I thought I'd never see you out of pink.
His deep voice touched my ears, and I shivered from the sound filling the silent hallway. Never see you out of pink. My mind took that to a dirty place, where I wore nothing and he looked on. My breasts tightened as warmth ran a languid path between my legs. I swallowed and pushed the breathlessness away. I hardly ever wore black, but I was feeling edgy tonight. Maybe because I knew he would be here, and I needed the strength black could offer to pretend he didn't exist. He'd only ever seen me in white or pink. It wasn't a surprise he looked at me like I was a ridiculous girl most of the time. But that was for the best. If he had returned this fascination, I could only imagine the chaos it could bring. And I wasn't starting another scandal, ever. Still leaning against the wall, I pulled up the hem of my dress until my hot pink heels were showing. A hint of a smile pulled on his lips, and he wiped at it with a thumb before sliding his hand back in his pocket. Butterflies erupted low in my stomach. If I ever cursed, really cursed, it would be to describe how handsome he was. It deserved a salacious word, otherwise no one could understand the magnitude of it. What do you know, sweet Abeli, to mean? I asked, my expression thoughtful. I had to know if I was considered a whore to the entire Cosa Nostra. Living in naivete wasn't my style, no matter how much I disliked the truth. He raised a dark brow, maintaining a 10-foot distance.
You want me to say it?
I gave my head a slow nod, pulling my bottom lip between my teeth. How bad was it? His gaze sparked with dark amusement, though a small amount of bitterness leaked through.
One of the sweetest pieces of ass in New York. Easily.
I blinked, swallowed, made a noise to hide my breathlessness. That's just what he knew it to mean, not necessarily what he believed, right? Still, I couldn't help a weight from forming between my legs. My dress from feeling abrasive and hot. This attraction burned. And before it scarred me forever, I needed to treat him differently. If I regarded him like family, which he would soon be, maybe then it would fade away. I pushed off the wall and walked toward him. The old restaurant's atmosphere held a charge. I suddenly wondered if the feeling was merely a reaction between two combustible forces, or if my crush had sunk so deep into my skin. The air was thicker to breathe in his presence. With an exhale that could be construed as relief, I said, "Well, that's not as bad as I was assuming." I stood in front of him, within arm's length. A feeling of significance rushed me whenever I was in his company, like I had the attention of the most popular boy at school. The past still gripped me, enough that the present seemed easy, courage not difficult to find. I stepped closer and ran my finger across the edge of his jacket button. His voice held a version of his natural darkness. This one was rougher, not in the least amused.
What did I say about assuming?
Somehow, his demanding, bossy nature only made my cheeks warm. How easily this man told people what to do and expected immediate obedience. A silver spoon must have fed him his entire childhood. I had good reason to believe it was something else. I pushed the black button through its hole, undoing his jacket. He watched me, and every inch of my skin burned like I was standing too near to a fire.
I'd love to hear your half-baked reasoning.
His tone told me the opposite. So what do you want? I opened his jacket, revealing the black vest beneath that hugged his stomach. Just checking up on me? His words were laced with harshness.
Your sister is drunk, and you encouraged it.
Oh, so I'm in trouble then. I reached into his vest pocket and pulled out the cigarette I knew would be there. I'd seen him put it between his lips or roll it between his fingers like he was trying to quit. Take it up with my papa. I'm an Abeli, not a Russo. I went to turn around, but he grabbed my wrist.
You're not going outside alone.
I saw some kitchen staff go out there. I tried to shake off his grip, but that only brought his attention to my hand. His gaze darkened on my ring like he wanted to pull it off. I curled my fingers protectively because I believed he might just try it. When his grasp slipped from my wrist, I headed toward the back door.
You're not going outside with the kitchen staff.
Treat him like family, right? Nicholas, go find someone else to boss around. I froze, my heartbeat slowing like they'd been dropped in molasses. He held me by the ponytail and kept me from taking another step, like it was a leash. My breath stopped when his front pressed against my back. He felt so warm, so good. I could have groaned if I had the air to do so. With a small tug on my ponytail, my head tilted to the side, and his lips brushed the hollow behind my ear.
Tell me what to fucking do again.
My neck would be the most sensitive part of me if the obvious didn't count. Goosebumps rose on my skin. His gravelly tone ran the length of my nape before trailing down my spine and between my legs. My back arched on reflex.
You're not going outside alone.
And not with the kitchen staff, either. With half-lidded eyes and a hazy mind, it took a moment to comprehend his words. I blinked, trying to clear my head.
Do you have a lighter?
I was going outside, whether he liked it or not. My question left the suggestion open that he was invited, though I didn't know why. This moment here proved I couldn't treat him like family. He gripped my waist and pushed me forward a step. He must have let my hair go, and I hadn't even noticed. When he opened the alley door and humid August air brushed my face, I hesitated. With his back pressed against the door, he held it open, his hands in his pockets. His stare was edged with something heated, maybe annoyance. He didn't want to be out here with me. The sweet Abeli would have considered his feelings. I didn't have to be her around him, though. I stepped out to smoke with Nicolas Russo. Chapter 17. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. Helen Keller. Elena. The past held a simplistic charm in my heart, but that didn't mean I couldn't see the beauty in my complicated present. Urban development stretched to the sky, its pollution blocking the stars. But beneath it, the magic of humanity lived on. There was good in the world, and I couldn't understand how the blonde newscaster only focused on the unpleasant. The alleyway was still, the kitchen staff having already dispersed. Tire noise, honking, and sirens were steady in the background. But even louder than that was the soft harmonic lilt of a saxophone. My heels clicked on the asphalt as I took a few steps toward the music. A certain reality settled on me. I didn't have a spellbinding love story to bring to this world. The honest truth was, I only forced myself to enjoy tragic endings because I knew mine wouldn't be far apart. Warmth brushed my bare back, the whisper of a thrill trailing behind. I turned around to find Nicolas standing so close, I had to tilt my head to meet his gaze. He took the cigarette from my fingers, put it between my lips, and then, with the metallic clink of a Zippo lighter with an ace of spades on the side, the mesmerizing glow of a flame flickered between us.
This is the last cigarette you're smoking, so enjoy it.
I smiled, and as he lit the cigarette, I puffed slowly so I didn't cough and come off as a rookie once again.
Something funny?
A soft laugh escaped me.
Yeah, you.
With a pensive stare, he pulled the cigarette from my lips, brought it to his own, and inhaled. I tilted my head, regarding him.
So can I call you my fratello now?
I didn't know why I'd said it, but it had just slipped through my lips as easily as air. Nicotine ran through my veins and lightened my tongue. He looked at me, blowing out a breath of smoke above my head. We were standing so close his sleeve touched my arm. So close his presence obliterated mine. And there was nothing that felt familial about it. He handed me the cigarette.
No.
It was a hard no, not one you debated with.
Why not?
You will be.
His jaw ticked.
I'll be your cognato, not your brother.
Same thing, really. You already have the controlling brotherly act down. His expression told me he wasn't amused, and he wasn't going to participate in this conversation.
You can call me your sorella.
Maybe a sibling is what you need to realize the world doesn't revolve around you. He let out a breath of amusement, but it sounded like he wanted to choke me.
Smoke your cigarette and shut up.
I turned around to hide the ridiculous warmth that rushed my cheeks and walked a few steps from him. The soft clicks of my heels in tune with the saxophone's lilt was hypnotic. The nicotine must have been mixing with the alcohol in my system. Or maybe I was just drunk on his presence. Spinning around, I leveled my gaze on him. You don't have to babysit me, you know. I don't usually get assaulted twice in one weekend. He leaned against the back door, his gaze sparking with sarcasm.
Just once, then?
Just once, I repeated, a smile pulling on my lips.
I'm not your babysitter.
Could have fooled me. His expression darkened around the edges. I didn't know why I was practically poking him with a stick, but the filter that was usually in place had drifted away with the last saxophone note. His tone was rough and dry.
Keep opening your mouth. I'll assault you.
I didn't believe he meant the sexual variety, though that's how I regrettably decided to take it. I brought the cigarette to my lips and inhaled. His gaze met mine through a breath of smoke. I'll be sure to tell my next attacker that only my cognato gets to assault me. Somehow, a suggestive nature filled the alleyway so heavily, a passerby couldn't miss it. My expression was thoughtful, though my heartbeat played the conga in my chest. I'm sure you're running out of ways to ruin men's lives anyway.
It's called a repertoire, Elena. They can be used again.
Hmm. And what's next on the list?
Who's being assaulted?
His voice was bland, like we were talking about the weather for the third time. I lifted a shoulder. Me. His gaze went cold, but his tone stayed impassive.
The entertainment for tonight would be watching him bleed out.
Nothing about his expression told me he was exaggerating. Well, it wouldn't be a normal evening with you around if there wasn't some blood involved. I paused. Though I guess you did all right at our last supper. The smallest yet darkest smile pulled on his lips.
Guess I did.
Butterflies erupted in my stomach. That mischievous, wicked smile was the exact reason women liked bad boys.
Cazzo. I needed some air.
Bending down, I put the cigarette out against the concrete before tossing it in the restaurant's dumpster. Butts and trash already littered the alleyway. I didn't want to contribute. Nicolas still leaned against the door, and so I stopped in front of him and waited. He held out his phone to me.
My list. Write it now.
I frowned at the cell phone and then looked at him. His expression was serious, and truthfully, with this attraction spiraling out of control, zinging under my skin like electricity, I didn't have it in me to argue with him. I grasped the phone and took a few steps back. There wasn't any way I could think with him standing so close. I opened his notes and typed in Adriana's dress size, shoe size, and even bra size. He didn't look like a man to skirt around details. When it came to her hobbies and likes, I couldn't help myself. Acting, cult horror films, gardening, not you. I smiled, but then his phone pinged and it fell from my lips. I stared. Who was he? Benito? The image was of a woman, naked, blonde hair, coy smile, big breasts. Jenny. I glanced at him to see he was only waiting for me to finish. I turned the phone around. His gaze stayed on mine for a second before giving it a glance, not a blink. This is Tony's girlfriend, I accused.
Is it?
I couldn't tell if he was amused or annoyed. Couldn't tell if he didn't know who this was, or if he was playing stupid. Did he get so many random pictures of naked women he couldn't tell them apart? Anger sparked in my chest. Stop sleeping with her, I said coldly. Now his darkness was the amused variety. My grip tightened on the phone. It's wrong. He lifted a shoulder.
Tit for tat.
I paused. You don't have a girlfriend.
You have a fiancé, though that usually didn't mean much to a man in this life. Did.
Oh. A strange discomfort curled in my chest. I blinked, trying to sort this out. You guys are sleeping with each other's girlfriends to, what, get back at each other? Not a word from him, and his gaze told me there wouldn't be one. He loves her, Nicholas, whether he knows it or not. His expression turned to ice. You're a champion for love, are you? Personal experience, maybe? What? My eyes narrowed. I didn't know what he meant, but I was too angry to care. You're marrying his sister, so it's not fair anymore. I had no idea what I was saying, but I wasn't taking his side. His laugh was dark. He didn't like me taking sides. Did he think I'd pick his? A sudden thought, a need to know, came to me, and it escaped my lips before I could stop it. Are you going to be faithful to Adriana? My heart thumped to an awkward beat. That was the most invasive thing I'd ever asked anyone, and it left a foreign and regretful aftertaste on my tongue. His gaze leveled on mine, not liking my question either, but he kept his words deep and smooth. Does she expect me to be? Of course she didn't. Not one woman expected that in this world. Not when going to a strip club was considered work for a man. Not when money and power corrupted. And not when women like Jenny threw themselves at rich and attractive men. It was why I didn't want a husband as handsome as him. He didn't even have to work to be unfaithful. It would sit right in his lap. I shook my head, this conversation chafing me with frustration. You're evading. Answer the question. Maybe if he said the words, showed me how disloyal, dishonest he was, then I could put this fascination for him aside. I was more interested in his reply than even my sister would be. He pushed off the door. You answer mine. My response was calm and suicidal. You can have your phone back after you answer my question. His condescending stare burned me, and then, with the tiniest shake of his head, he came in my direction. My heart leapt, and I backed up. But then my bare back hit the alley wall, and the cool concrete sent a shiver down my spine. I was trapped, cornered, and frazzled enough I couldn't think clearly, didn't think at all. I dropped his phone down the front of my dress. He froze two paces away, stared at where his phone had gone, and then ran his tongue across his teeth in a type of roguish disbelief. You honestly think that's going to stop me from taking it back? I had no idea why I'd done it. For once in my life, I wished for the sweet Abeli to save me. Her calm, collected ways wouldn't have gotten her into this mess in the first place. I swallowed down my breathlessness. That would be inappropriate. Both of our gazes dropped when the phone fell from my breasts to my stomach, before catching on the tight fabric near my hips. His phone was stuck below my navel. His eyes came back to mine. From what I've learned, kissing is platonic these days. Reaching up your dress can't be much worse. My stomach fluttered. You're not reaching up my dress. 3 seconds, Elena. His words were short, pissed. I knew he meant I had that long to give it back to him. I didn't know what I was doing or when I'd suddenly acquired a death wish, but my gaze met his for a consecutive 3 seconds. Quietly and maturely, I said, "You haven't answered my question." His stare flicked to the concrete, and when it came back to me burning hot, I knew I was in trouble. A surge of expectation leaked into my bloodstream, but was doused with unease when he took the remaining steps toward me. His shoulders blocked the alleyway, his heavy presence slowing my breaths. He wasn't gentle. With his amber gaze on mine, he gripped a fistful of my dress near my thigh and tugged it up, jerking me in the process. He fisted the fabric, skimming it up my legs. Every inch of my skin sizzled, and an empty ache formed low in my stomach. When he made contact with my bare thigh, I had to bite my lip to hold in a whimper. His palm was rough and hot enough to burn. And God, a man had never smelled so good. I wanted to nuzzle my face in his neck so I could get more of it, all of it. It wasn't lost on me that I was criticizing him for being unfaithful to Adriana, while fantasizing about him doing the same thing with me. The thought was only fleeting because his presence, his warmth, brushed it aside. I didn't know if he had slowed, or if this moment was so significant I was experiencing it in slow motion, but it quieted, the sound of my ragged breaths filling the alley. A slight breeze made its way through the sliver of space between us, making me aware of how hot I was. I'd never felt warmer in my life. He pressed closer against me, his jacket brushing my arms, his watch cold on the smooth skin of my inner thigh. One hand was braced on the wall beside my head, trapping me. What he didn't know was that I didn't want out. Once he touched bare skin, his gaze hardened, before flicking down as if in reluctance. The empty ache between my legs pulsed. I couldn't help but to part my thighs, to imagine him slipping a hand between them, cupping me over my thong, pulling it to the side and pushing a finger inside of me. My palms lay flat on the cold concrete wall on each side of me, and a buzz sounded in my ears. His jaw tightened, and his fingers gripped the inside of my thigh. Sparks ran from the heat of his hand straight to my clit, all my blood drumming in that area. He'd only have to run a palm across the fabric to realize how disturbed I was, how wet this was making me, how much I wanted him. But he didn't do any of that. He only grabbed his phone. His thumb brushed over the thin string of my thong on my hip, pulling it down a bit before his hands left me. As my dress fell to brush the asphalt, his voice was rough against my ear.
You already know the answer.
He stepped back and tilted his head toward the door, in a way of telling me to get there now. Too breathless to do anything else, I headed in its direction, a whisper of an ache trailing behind.
Chapter 18. No one will ever kill me. They wouldn't dare. Carmine Galante. Nico. There was no better place for me than at the heart of the Cosa Nostra. Like the last piece of a puzzle, my existence was a perfect fit. No matter if I were a lawyer's son, a doctor's, or a janitor's, I would have found my way on the wrong side of the law, doing the one thing I loved to do, hustling. I was Antonio Russo's son, no one else's. And for that reason, I was damn good at what I did. My papa used to have a saying, non ha il dolce caro, chi provato non ha l'amaro. It was a way of telling me there was no room for regrets in this world, that a man had to taste the bitter before he could taste the sweet. I'd heard it when I was 7, as I looked at the first dead man I'd ever seen, eyes open, blood pooling on the warehouse floor. In my profession, regrets were easy to come by. They piled up, each one weakening a man's resolve. I didn't regret much, and up until recently, I had only one that followed me around. I regretted fucking Gianna.